Nicolas Yanin's appetite for vengeance wavered and dimmed, and finally wore itself out long before the execution was meant to end. The punishment meted out was too brutal, and the Ugara warriors too young, hardly more than boys, and by that time his furious grief and rage at the massacre and its grotesque aftermath had become a little less urgent. When the stoicism of the warriors finally began to break, Nicolas could not help but remember, could not help but acknowledge, if only inwardly to himself, that the Lao townsman had committed the first offense. More than any of that, he could not put out of his mind the awareness that the butchery of the townsman could not actually be laid at the feet of these young warriors. They were in Temara, and the Ugara who had butchered the timbering crew had been in Nascano. Though the Intamara tribe might have done exactly the same if they had discovered Lao trespassing on their lands, the fact remained, they had not. Those poor young men out there on the pillories had none of that blood on their hands, and Nicolas knew it. When the nearest of the Ugaro finally shifted his weight and bowed his head and visibly set himself against an outcry, and then, despite himself, could not restrain a short, muffled cry when the whip came down again, Nicolas found himself on his feet with his knife in his hand and no thought in his head but a nauseated awareness that the execution had become unbearable. Two townspeople tried to stop him as he made his way forward. Nicolas hardly noticed them and forgot them immediately when his own men put themselves in the way and stopped that attempt at interference. Four of the five men appointed as executioners stopped, hesitating, letting the whips lie limp along the ground. But he did not notice them either. People were shouting at him, furious, but his men held their line. Even at that moment, Nicolas was distantly grateful for their loyalty. They might agree or disagree, but either way, they were ready to back him. The Ugara warrior turned his head, and Nicolas looked into the broad, young face and the pain-glazed eyes and found in himself a cold certainty that he could not let this go on. When he stepped forward, knife ready, the Ugaro lifted his head to expose his throat and said something, but his voice was too ragged and stammering for Nicolas to understand him.
He said in Taksu, not loudly,
"I am sorry." Then he cut the young man's throat, leaned to the side away from the spray of blood, and moved toward the next Ugaro in the line. It was not the worst moment of his life, but it was close.